بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 24th of December in the year 2020 Alhamdulillah, we moved on to the 18th night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the exalted chief of Al-Khazraj, Sayyidina Sa'ad ibn Ubadah, radiyallahu. And I've reached the point where I've mentioned that the blessed Ansar have reassured the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that they are with him, with regards to the imminent encounter at Badr. But I pose the question, that which Sa'ad was it who reassured the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Was it Sa'ad ibn Mu'ad, whose narrative is recorded in Tabarani in his Kabir, number 4056, Tabari in his Tafsir ibn Ishaq, etc.? Or was it Sayyidina Sa'ad ibn Ubadah, radiyallahu, whose narrative is recorded in Sahih Muslim, number 1779 and Mishkat? So first to mention some proofs that it was Sa'ad ibn Ubadah. In Bukhari, in his Tariq al-Kabir 4-44 al-Bidayah, Abdullah ibn Abbas, he confirmed Sa'ad ibn Ubadah's presence in that most fateful encounter. He said, on the day of Badr, the Muhajirs seconded Ali, whilst the Ansar seconded Sa'ad ibn Ubadah. On the day of Badr, the Muhajir seconded Ali, whilst the Ansar seconded Sa'ad ibn Ubadah, radiyallahu anhu. So let's look at this. So according to Abdullah ibn Abbas, Sa'ad was definitely there, Sa'ad ibn Ubadah, because the Ansar were rallying behind him, and the Muhajirun were rallying behind Sayyidina Ali, radiyallahu anhu. So again, it seems to prove he was there. However, Hafiz ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayhi said, I say that this is commonly known to have been on the day of the conquest, ayah of Makkah. This is in Al-Bidayah. So Hafiz ibn Kathir said, that statement of Ibn Abbas is true. But he's not talking about Badr. He's talking about Makkah falling. The Ansar were behind Sa'ad ibn Ubadah and the Muhajir behind Ali. Sa'ad ibn Ubadah's participation in that famous encounter is endorsed by Urwa ibn Zubair, Musa ibn Uqba, and Imam Bukhari, as related in his Tariq al-Kabir 4-44 and Al-Bidayah. So these great people who've said Sa'ad ibn Ubadah was there at Badr. Amongst the great scholars, Imam Bukhari. However, there is discrepancy over these reports. For some of the blessed scholars have stated that Sa'ad ibn Ubadah had not attended this encounter. For instance, in Ibn Sa'ad in his Tabaqat, volume 3, page 478 of the English translation, in the chapter on the companions of Badr, Al-Bidayah in summary form, Muhammad ibn Umar, rahmatullah alayhi, he said, Sa'ad ibn Ubadah radiyallahu was preparing to go to Badr and went to the houses of the Ansar to encourage them to go out. But he was stung, by a poisonous snake before he went out, and thus he stayed behind. Rasulullah later said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even if Sa'ad ibn Ubadah was not present, he was eager for it. Thus, some of them further related that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him a share and reward. But there is no consensus on this. So let's look at this. So according to Ibn Sa'ad in his Tabaqat, he was intending to go, but he was bit by a snake. So obviously he was ill. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam later said, even if he is not here, he certainly made the full intention. And then the report says that he gave him a share and a reward of that encounter. But Ibn Kathir said, however, the scholars haven't agreed to this. Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani, rahmatullah alayhi, he attempted to reconcile the reports by saying, in Fath al-Bari 15-151-152, it is possible to say that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had consulted them twice in connection with the Battle of Badr. The first time in Al-Madina with Sa'ad ibn Ubadah radiyallahu, whilst the second time with Sa'ad ibn Mu'ad after leaving Al-Madina. So some scholars like Ibn Hajar, he says, well, the hadith are all authentic, they can't contradict. So how could they both have said the same words? So the only logical answer you can think is that they said it at different times. So when the Prophet set out from Al-Madinah, Sa'ad ibn Ubadah gave him encouragement. We're with you, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when they left Al-Madinah, then Sa'ad ibn Mu'ad said those words. Have you understood? But there's a problem with that. The problem with that is the Prophet wasn't intending, brother. So how could Sa'ad ibn Ubadah have said in Al-Madinah, we're with you, when they were only intending the caravan? Have you understood? So again, the scholars, they're trying their best to reconcile the reports. Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani also said in Fath al-Bari 15-152, according to a report in Tabarani, Sa'ad ibn Ubadah had actually said these words at Al-Hudaybiyah. So the words where Sa'ad goes, we're with you, Ya Rasulullah, we're going all the way, even if you tell us to go into the sea, we're going to go into the sea. Because he didn't say those words at Badr. He said those years later, when they were prevented from doing the Umrah. In other words, whatever you decide, Ya Rasulullah, we're with you. So that seems to be more probable. But of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The reason I've talked about this at length is because people argue over this. It goes, it was Sa'ad ibn Mu'ad who said those words. He goes, yes, you're right, brother. But isn't there a hadith in Sahih Muslim where Sa'ad ibn Ubadah said it? And he goes, well, he wasn't there, was he? He goes, some scholars said he was there. So he said, look, there's difference of opinion. But think about this. This is, I think, certainly worth pointing out. Which of the two Sa'ads gave their pledge in the second pledge of Aqaba?
Sa'ad ibn Ubadah.
Sa'ad ibn Ubadah. Was Sa'ad ibn Mu'ad?
No.
No. So look how beautiful. Allah the Almighty has reversed it. As if to equal the honors. Sa'ad ibn Ubadah does not go to Badr. But the one who didn't give his pledge in the second pledge, he is given the honor to go to Badr. So that's again another way to look at this. So if it was Sa'ad ibn Ubadah again, then the other Sa'ads not only lost out on the second pledge, he's missed Badr. So Allah Ta'ala is, you know, distributing the honors by His great kindness and mercy. The famous battle of Badr thus broke out. Indeed, the unbelievers had no chance. Subhanallah, despite the odds being against them, the believers won a most comprehensive and decisive victory. The unbelievers were crushed and 70 of their warriors were taken as captives. This was naturally primarily due to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sending to the aid of the Muslims the magnificent angels, alayhi salatu wa salam, of which, as will be shown, even the angels felt proud of participating in. Subhanallah. So obviously there's lots of details. The battle is famous. They had no chance. Allah ta'ala caused the battle to occur. 70 of the unbelieving Quraysh were caught as prisoners, and then later they were ransomed. Famous consultation the Prophet made sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the Sahab, and he chose Abu Bakr's view radiyallahu. So all those details aren't relevant to Sa'ad ibn Ubadah, right? He was either there fighting on the battlefield, or he had the intention and he was given the honor. The rank of the Badris is eminent indeed. Consider the three flawless reports in Bukhari Sharif. So like I mentioned, to reiterate, the Badris were chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you can explain this now. When somebody goes, what do you mean they were chosen? They were handpicked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These three hadiths, which I'm going to quote to you, are all in Bukhari. And this highlights how great they are. The first, in Sahih Bukhari, Mishkat volume 4, number 139, in the chapter on the companions in general, Sayyidina Rifa'a ibn Rafi radiyallahu anhu, he said, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam once descended upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam and asked, how do you find the people of Badr amongst you? He sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, afdalil muslimina, the best of the Muslims, or words similar to this. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam added, and thus are those angels alayhi salatu wasalam who were also present at Badr. Subhanallah. So if you look at this report in Sahih Bukhari, why is Jibreel asking? Right? Jibreel is asking for us. He already knows. Allah Ta'ala has told him. Because he's confirmed what the Prophet said. So when he actually descended, who told him to descend? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why is he told Jibreel to descend? Just with a laugh. He told him to descend so everybody understands the status of the Badris. So when Jibreel asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how do you find the people of Badr? And look what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Obviously the perfect man. Afdalil Muslimin. Afdal means the best. You get this frequent phrase of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he said, Afdalus Salah, Afdalul Jihad. But he used that same phrase for the Muslims. Afdalil Muslimin. But Rifa'a said, or he used similar words, meaning it was either that or similar. And what did Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam say? Those are the angels who were present at Badr. So not only, yes, you're right, these were the greatest of your companions, radiyallahu ta'ala. But Allah Ta'ala did not allow even the normal angels to descend. He handpicked the best. So who was on that battlefield? Think about that. How many angels? Allah Ta'ala knows best, 1,000. They were the best. The top 1,000 if there was 1,000. If there was 2,000, the top 2,000. If there were 3,000, the top 3,000. So we know three of them, Jibreel, Mikael, Israfil, alayhi salatu wasalam, they were there. And we've even got details what they were doing. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, he said in Imam Ahmad's Musnad Sahih, with one of you is Jibreel, and with the other is Mikael. And he was talking about Abu Bakr and Umar, Abu Bakr and Ali. So with one of them was Jibreel. So where was Jibreel found? You'd find with Abu Bakr, whatever he was fighting. Where would you find Mikael, alayhi salatu wasalam? Wherever Ali was. Israfil, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, the mighty angel, he's just watching. So he had a ringside seat. He didn't get involved. So some of the angels didn't even really fight. They were just there as an honor. And he was watching the slaughter taking place. And the Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum said, we knew who was killed by an angel. Because we saw green marks. If there was a green mark on an unbeliever, an angel had killed him. So Allah Ta'ala even left them marks. Some of them were killed by the angels. Some of the unbelievers were captured by the angels. Right? Allah Ta'ala even gave them instructions that you must not kill so-and-so. Just capture him. Why? Because later on he's going to embrace Islam. Right? So the angels weren't just there gung-ho, right, with their swords out. Like, you know, you get some impression. They were given specific orders by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here the Prophet was told this, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The second report in Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, Mishkat, volume 4, number 138, in the chapter on the companions in general, Sayyidina Ali himself, radiallahu alayhi wa sallam, beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what will make you comprehend what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed about the warriors of Badr? He subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, do what you now like, for paradise is wajabat for you. Subhanallah. Do what you now like, for paradise is wajabat for you. Obligatory. Okay, let's look at this report. So where is it recorded? Bukhari and Muslim. Who is the narrator? One of the Badris. Ali. He heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, and what makes it even more precious? Hadithi Qudsi. Allah himself is speaking. So what did the Prophet say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What will make you comprehend? Meaning you don't really understand their status. What Allah Ta'ala has said about the Badris. And what did he say about the Badris? 313 or 15. Do whatever you now like. For paradise is obligatory for you. Do whatever you want. So think about that. They were all given the green light that no matter what you do now, paradise is your ultimate abode. Hadithi Qudsi. Now, did they take their foot off the pedal? And the answer is no. So who were they following? They were following Rasulullah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the Prophet was praying, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his feet started to swell in tahajjud, one of his family members goes, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why are you going through such exertion? Allah Ta'ala has forgiven you your past and future failings. And what did the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say? Should I not be a grateful servant? Meaning, if Allah Ta'ala has given me that which you're right, He's given me that, but now I should be even more grateful to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. That's in Bukhari Sharif. So what did the Badris do? Exactly that. Allah Ta'ala has given them that status. Do whatever you want. Wajabat, paradise is yours. They went more into gratitude to Almighty Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Second report. A third report. In Sahih Bukhari, Muslim, Nasai, Tirmidhi, Ahmad, Mishkat, our beloved messenger said to Umar, radiyallahu, O Umar, radiyallahu, maybe Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has looked favorably at the people of Badr and said, do as you now please, for I have forgiven you. Hearing this, Umar, understanding the incredible honor that had been graciously bestowed upon him and all the Badris, he began to weep. And he said, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala and His Messenger know best. So this is part of the report recorded in Bukhari and Muslim. So why, what's the context here? The context here is, one of the Badris, later on, he fell into a sin. What did he do? The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he's going to Makkah to take it peacefully. One of the Badris, he sent a message to the Quraysh saying basically that Muhammad is coming, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And the reason he sent a message to them was because his mother was in Makkah and she was an ally, meaning she had no protection. So if the Quraysh found out the Prophet is coming, he feared for his mother. So he sent a message and he gave it to a woman, and the woman hid it into her braids. So then the hadith, which I mentioned, is in Bukhari and Muslim. When that woman set off, revelation came to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Allah the Almighty and Glorious told His beloved Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there's a woman. And you will find her at Khakh. Stop her. She's got the letter. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he called two Sahaba, both Badris. Ali and Miqdad. Sorry, three. Zubair, three Badris. Ali, Zubair and Miqdad. Radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. And he told all three of them, go quickly. When you get to Khakh, you will see a woman there. Get the letter of her. And if she refuses, he goes, use force. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave the orders. The three companions, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, they set off. And when they got to Khakh, the woman's there. So Ali radiyallahu anhu approaches her. He goes, give me the letter. So she says, what letter? What are you talking about? So Ali radiyallahu anhu said, give me the letter. So she starts saying, I don't know what letter are you referring to. The third time, he goes, if you don't give me the letter, I'm going to strip you. Straight away, she loosened her braids and the letter came out. Ali radiyallahu anhu opened it. Zubair and Miqdad looked, and it was from that Badri. So they looked and they couldn't believe it. So three Badris looked at the letter, because another Badri has wrote the letter. So they went back to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Prophet called him. He goes, why did you do this? So he explained. He goes, Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I know that Allah Ta'ala will give you the holy city. But my mother is there, she hasn't got any allies. And I thought by doing this gesture, my mother would be safe from their wrath. Umar immediately says, Ya Rasulullah, let me chop the munafiq's head off. Then the Prophet said these words, O Umar, maybe Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has looked favorably at the people of Badr and said, do as you now please, I have forgiven you. And look at Umar's response. He wept. Why? Because he realized, I'm a Badri. He goes, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala and His Messenger know best. So now what does that mean? It means they're still accountable. But because of their status, Allah Ta'ala has forgiven them. So now what's interesting, which is also relevant, Abu Bakr Siddiq, again in Bukhari, look at all these reports, all in Bukhari. if you care to study, right? So Imam Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he stopped giving financial support to another Badri. His name was Mista radiallahu anhu. Why? Because he was propagating that his daughter Aisha had fallen into zina. He didn't start it. It was the chief munafiq who started it. But Mista got affected by it and he started propagating it. When revelation finally descended, Surah Nur, 10 or so verses, Abu Bakr was so angry. He goes, I refuse to give to Mista. He stopped his financial support. When he did that, Allah the Almighty revealed another verse in Surah Nur. And he said, let not those amongst you who are endowed with grace and means swear an oath to stop giving to the relatives. Let them forgive and overlook. Do you not love that Allah Ta'ala forgive you? Abu Bakr Siddiq straight away said, yes, I'm going to give it back to him. And in a hadith in Tabarani, he doubled. So Mr. actually got, you know, double stipends from Abu Bakr radiallahu. So now that's the hadith. Shaykh al-Hadith Mawlana Muhammad, who wrote Sirat al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Allah the Almighty and Glorious was telling Abu Bakr Siddiq, do not come out of your station of Siddiq. This ill befits a Siddiq, what you did. And the Badri, he goes, he's already forgiven. In other words, if I've forgiven him, why didn't you overlook his failing? So this is why Allah Ta'ala revealed that verse. So notice the status of the Badris. Look at these mistakes they're making. Allah Ta'ala has forgiven them. No matter what they're doing. Why? Because I picked them. You got to go back. He picked all of the Badris. It wasn't the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Their intention was the caravan. So if you were in Al-Madinah, you're thinking caravan. No, Ya Rasulullah, it's not a campaign. No problem. Some thought, okay, we'll go. We'll go. Reality was Allah Ta'ala was handpicking them all. And who did he pick? The best. The Prophet said that, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman wasn't in Badr. Somebody goes, well, what happened there? Because the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's daughter was very ill. And the Prophet said to Uthman, look after my daughter. And then when Uthman was looking after Ruqayya, radiallahu anha, she passed away, he was doubly hurt. He goes, I've lost the maqam of Badr. And I've also lost the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah Ta'ala replaced them both. He gave them the second daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Uthman gets a share of Badr. And he is regarded as a Badri. Regarded in, related in Abu Dawud and Mishkat. Ali, Zubair, Talha wasn't there as well. So where was Talha? Talha was on a business trip. The Prophet sent him on a mission with another companion, Sa'id ibn Zayd. So two of the 10 weren't present at Badr, but the Prophet sent them on a mission. This is in Ibn Hisham in his seerah. So not even those who weren't present, who had an excuse, they're the best. Who falls into that category? Sa'ad ibn Ubadah, according to the soundest view, radiyallahu anhu. So that's why Ibn Sa'ad relates his name, blessed name, when he's mentioning the companions of Badr. Sa'ad ibn Ubadah, radiyallahu anhu. With regards to the date of this most auspicious battle, Abdullah ibn Abbas said, so what day did Allah Ta'ala choose for Badr? Christmas Day, right? In Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, Al-Bidayah volume 3, page 269, Hayat al-Sahaba volume 2, page 329 of the New English Translation, Abdullah ibn Abbas said, it was Friday, the 17th of Ramadan, that the unbelievers were defeated in the battle of Badr. Subhanallah. So which day did Allah Ta'ala choose? Jummah. Think about that. You know, you think about it. Was it Jummah? Did they get time to play Jummah? Don't know, brother. It was Badr. What else was it? Ramadan? Were they fasting? Don't know, brother. You know, don't ask the fiqh to the scholars. You're missing the point. Right? Allah Ta'ala's honored that day. Ramadan, Friday. And what day was it? The 17th. It was interesting. 17th. This is why Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu in Tabari in his tarikh, on the 17th night of Ramadan, he would worship all night. And people could see strain on his face for Fajr. And they asked him, why are you straining so much this night? He goes, on this day, we were given victory. And I want to show gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So those who remember Badr, remember it on the 17th. They don't eat samosa and go to sleep, right? They worship all night on the 17th. But people are oblivious, right? 17th, because it's not even last 10. Not even itikaf. Nothing to do with itikaf, brother. Do with Badr, if you're interested, right? So it was Friday, the 17th of Ramadan. Now think about that. How many martyrs in Badr? 11 or 14. What day were they martyred? As if they needed it. Somebody goes, who are the best martyrs? The martyrs of Badr. What day was it? Friday. Right? Friday. Right? And he goes, can you mention a few of these martyrs? Yes. Ubaydah ibn al-Harith, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's cousin. Umair, one from the Muhajirun, radiyallahu anhu, one from the Ansar, with the same name, Umair, etc., etc. Al-Harith, radiyallahu ta'ala. And one of the Badris, he actually got martyred when the battle hadn't even started. He got a stray arrow, hit him. And then later on, his mother was seen grieving and grieving. She thought, oh no, my son, look, you know, he died and where's he gone? So she came and then the Prophet said, what's the matter with you? So she goes, Ya Rasulullah, I just want to know about my son. Because he got struck by an arrow, but if you tell me he's in the, because I will weep over him, but just put me at ease. The Prophet said, there are so many levels of paradise. Your son is in the highest. Where is this hadith recorded? Bukhari Sharif. Badr, all about Badr, right? Imam Bukhari has dedicated a huge section to the status. And this is Hafiz ibn al-Kathir said, Rahmatullah alayh, this wasn't a one who fought in Badr. This is one who was in, was one of the blessed souls. But the fighting didn't start. Then what about those who actually fought and were martyred? Right, so note, unbelievable status. And some of the Sahaba, which is quite amusing to finish, they were actually caught on the wrong side. Right, so for instance, Suhail ibn Amr, he was a prisoner, radiyallahu. And then you got Aqil ibn Abu Talib, who was a prisoner, radiyallahu. You got Abbas, the Prophet's uncle, he was a prisoner, radiyallahu. So all these prisoners, you've got Walid ibn Walid, Khalid ibn Walid's brother, as a prisoner. All of them became Sahaba later on. And I can't remember which Sahaba it was. But somebody asked him, are you a Badri? He goes, yes. And what he meant by that was, yeah, I was there. You know, on the long side. He knows. But they wanted a bit of the honor. He goes, yeah, I'm Badri. And then later on somebody told him, yeah, he goes, he's on the Kuffar side. And he goes, oh, right, right. And also they became great companions. So here. And what was interesting is those companions who were caught as prisoners, people would approach them. Because who better to ask about Badr? And each of them had amazing narratives. Right? For example, Abbas. Abbas was the Prophet's uncle. He was doing a secret mission for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he was a huge man. His voice would make the valley echo. A very powerful man. And there was a Sahaba called Abu Yusr who caught him. Abu Yusr was a very frail man, like Abdullah ibn Masud, very short. So then the Prophet sees Abbas tied and he sees that young frail Sahaba. And Abu Yusr goes, Ya Rasulullah, I got him. I took, you know, I basically got your uncle. So the Prophet said, how did you manage to capture my uncle? But then revelation came. And then the Prophet said, oh Abu Yusr, Allah Ta'ala sent an angel from the fourth heaven. He captured him and he gave him to you. Isn't that true? And then Abu Yusuf goes, yes. He goes, somebody did hand him over to me. Right? And he was an angel. So think about that. Allah Ta'ala sent an angel from the fourth heaven to capture the uncle of the Prophet. So here ibn Amr was caught. His son was on the Muslim side. So what happened? You know, just to mention this and we finish with this. So Suhail ibn Amr radiyallahu anhu, he had his two sons locked up. They go, you're not going nowhere because I know you're Muslims. So Abdullah ibn Suhail was his son. He goes, father, I've seen you wearing armor. And I now realize where my duty lies. He goes, you untie me now. I'm with you. So Suhail looked at his son. He thought, is he doing a fast one? Right? But then he thought, no, he's never lied to me before. He unties him. So his son, Abdullah ibn Suhail joins his father to join the Kufar. Then Suhail goes to his other son, Abu Jandal. He says, what about you? So Abu Jandal goes, never, I'm never going to join you. He goes, shame on my brother for his change of heart. He goes, it's humiliating for me that he's my brother. So Suhail is now convinced. He goes, yes, yeah. Right, takes his son with him. And as they get to Badr, don't forget, Abdullah ibn Suhail is on the Kufar side. When he gets to Badr, he waits for an opportune moment. And when their guard is down, Abdullah ibn Suhail radiallahu anhu jumps on a horse and he gallops straight across to the Prophet's side. So before they even knew what had happened, he goes, what's up, where's Abdullah going? And then Abu Jahl turned to Suhail. He goes, oh, look at that. He goes, you've increased their numbers. And then he goes, well, go and catch him then. He goes, you know we can't catch Abdullah on a horse. And then Abdullah came onto the Muslim side and they were laughing. He goes, yeah, another one. Now look how twitching that is. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala handpicked him. Look where he handpicked him from. You know, think about this. People are sleeping, right? He was chained up with his brother who picked him for Badr. If Allah Ta'ala wants something to happen, it happens. He took him out of those chains, brought him to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then what happened? Battle's finished. His father's caught. So he'll. So he's thinking, Abdullah's now thinking, yeah, this, right? And then Umar goes past Suhail and he goes, enemy of Allah, well done. He goes, soon your head's coming off. So he goes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, he goes, Suhail said all these really bad words using his eloquence, just give me a quick signal, I'll sort it. The Prophet said, no. So Umar radiallahu anhu thinking, he's pacing himself up and down. Then he goes back to Suhail, looks at him. Then he goes, I'm going to pluck your teeth out. He goes back to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He goes, Ya Rasulullah, at least let me pluck his teeth out, because then he can't do his poetry. And then the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if I allow you to do that, then Allah Ta'ala will mutilate me on the Day of Judgment. So Umar couldn't do anything. He's not, you know, steam is coming out of his blessed ears. But then the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, oh Umar, maybe one day he will do something to please you. He will use that eloquence to please you. Maybe one day. So Umar himself thought, how is he going to please me? I'm going to be pleased when I kill him. Right? But what happened? Suhail embraced Islam. When Suhail embraced Islam, he became firm. He was in Makkah when the Prophet passed away in Medina. When the Prophet passed away in Medina, Makkah was shaken. Some of them were still not strong in their deen. Suhail steadied the ship. He went to the Kaaba Sharif. He goes, we were the last to embrace Islam. Are we going to be the first to leave Islam? He started using his eloquence. He goes, you know, Allah, Allah. He goes, in other words, keep firm, because Rasulullah's, you know, fulfilled his mission. You know he's Rasulullah. And then he was saying it. And then eventually he stabled the Makkans. When Umar heard about this, he goes, Sadaqta ya Rasulullah. Rasulullah spoke the truth. So all of this was some Badr. Walid ibn Walid, who was caught, was Khalid ibn Walid's brother. When Khalid came, Khalid had to bring his father's armor. That was part of the deal. Basically, Walid ibn Mughira's special armor is part of his ransom. So Khalid wasn't going to bring it, but he goes, look, your brother, it's your brother, you're going to have to do it. So he gets the armor of his father and he goes, this is disgraceful. He goes, why couldn't my brother just have died on the battlefield? So he comes. Imagine looking at the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he gives him the armor. He goes, where's my brother? Right? The Prophet goes, he's there. So then he releases Walid and they're not talking to each other. So Walid goes, are you talking to me, O Khalid? And then he gets so angry with him. He goes, why didn't you die on the battlefield? He goes, look how disgraced we are. So Walid goes, I've become Muslim. So Khalid goes, you become Muslim? He goes, you made me come with our father's armor. He goes, why didn't you do that before? He goes, why deprive the Muslims? He goes, like they say, every penny helps. Right? And then he goes, and then he told him. He goes, I always knew he was Rasulullah. But when I was a prisoner, they were looking after us better than themselves. They were giving us dates and they were eating bread. He goes, after what is this? He goes, so he embraced Islam. Walid ibn Walid. Before Khalid bin Walid, radiallahu anhu. So note all of this is Badr, right? And the beauty of it is Allah the Almighty and Glorious gives it a title. In Surah Al-Anfal, Surah 8, verse 41, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls it Yawmul Furqan, the day of the criterion. Yawmul Furqan, the day of the criterion. Now think about that. Surah Anfal, Abdullah ibn Abbas said, radiyallahu anhu, in Sahih Bukhari, is Badr. If you want to know about Badr, read Surah Anfal. So the whole surah is about Badr. That's one another distinction for Badr. In verse 51, if that wasn't enough honor, Allah Ta'ala gives it a name. Yawm al-Furqan, the day of the distinguishing. So when you distinguish between truth and error, Allah Ta'ala goes, you can distinguish it on that day. That is the day you can tell the difference where the truth is. That's how significant that battle was. And who's called Faruq? Umar. Umar al-Faruq, the distinguisher. The Badr. So note, he was also honored on the day of Furqan. And Allah the Almighty and Glorious says, وَلَقَدْ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ بِبَدْرُ وَأَنْتُمْ عَذِلَّةِ فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. You were weak, small at Badr, and Allah Ta'ala gave you victory. Will you not give thanks? You were small at Badr. You were very weak. But Allah Ta'ala gave you victory. Will you not give thanks? Who is he talking to there? He's talking to us. Because I ain't going to do shukr for Badr. And what's the greatest way to do shukr for Badr? To study the battle. To realize how Allah Ta'ala's dealing with his enemies. And look at the lessons that I've just thrown in this one session. This is just tip of the iceberg. And yes, in numbers, it wasn't much of a battle. There was 1,000 versus 313. There's been far greater battles. World War I, World War II, we know that. But this is the greatest battle of all time. So it's not the numbers. It's what actually happened on that battlefield. And if you go through it, you realize, you're thinking, when is that going to ever happen again? Where family is going to fight family? When is that going to happen, right? And it's true, you know, when will that happen? You may get one family member. No, your whole tribe's coming. Right? You know, what a test Allah Ta'ala put through unto those noble souls. Abu Ubaidah killed his father. Which one of us could kill our father on the battlefield? Radiyallahu anhu. Right? Another Sahaba killed his brother. Another Sahaba killed his uncle. Which one of us could do that? Right? And that's why they're very special and dear souls to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Sa'ad ibn Ubadah was enlisted amongst them. Radiyallahu anhu. So all I mentioned today was basically, again, concluding with the glorious battle of Badr and where the great name of Sa'ad ibn Ubadah was mentioned and some of the key events that took place during that fateful encounter. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? Subhanallah bihamdihi subhanaka allahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk wa billahi minash shaitanir rajim subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun alal mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin bismillahir rahmanir rahim wal asr innal insana lafi khusr alladhina amanu wa amilus salihat wa tawassaw bil haqq wa tawassaw bis sabr sadaqallahu alazim.